This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I am Courtneyak.
And I'm Sadieak.
And I don't have anything profound to say tonight because you know what? We keep the banter to the back here at They Will Kill. So it's Sadie's night. What are we talking about tonight? Sadie, go.
This is the unsolved murders of Kate Bushnell and Lynn Bryant.
I thought we agreed. No unsolved murders. And although I'm working on one right now, so I take it back. Go ahead and tell me all about it.
All right. On the afternoon of Saturday, November 15th, 1997, 14-year-old Kate Bushnell left her home in Exwick, Exeter, Devon, to walk her neighbor's dog, a Jack Russell named Gemma. The neighbors went out of town for the weekend and had asked the responsible teen to dog sit while they were away. Kate was happy to help. She was spotted by witnesses walking the dog down Exwick Lane, a narrow rural road commonly used by pedestrians. This lane was familiar to Kate, who used it to come and go often. Her parents didn't think twice to let their teenager go by herself that day, but when Kate wasn't home at 6 p.m. and it was now dark, her mother and father started to worry. They called the police to report her missing and decided to go look for her themselves. They drove down the lane in their car, and when they didn't find Kate, they got out and searched the footpaths that led through the surrounding fields. After looking for more than an hour, Kate's father found Gemma, the dog. Gemma, who was unharmed, hadn't left Kate's side, but tragically, Kate's father then found her lying dead next to her loyal companion.
Oh my God.
An autopsy would show that Kate's throat had been viciously cut. There was no sign of robbery or sexual assault, and police believed her attack had been random.
What? How was that possible? Why?
The medical examiner found orange fibers from non-fluorescent workwear on Kate's body, and it was determined that a knife with a 6-inch blade was used as the murder weapon. Detectives quickly determined that Kate's attacker had a local connection to the area due to the remote location of the crime scene. She was killed in a spot mainly used as a cut-through and by local dog walkers, not a place someone from out of town would just happen upon. Mm-hmm. As word spread of Kate's murder, tips started to pour in. A man called the police and told them about an unknown male, quote, vagrant, who had been spending time around the area where Kate was killed. He said in mid-September, he first noticed the man as he walked his dog down the lane on the outskirts of Exwick. The witness described him as wearing a long, checky brown coat with a big collar that was very tight to his neck. He described him as having long, straggly hair, said he was between 5'10" and 6 foot tall, and somewhere around 30 to 40 years of age. The witness got the impression the man had been sleeping outside based on his appearance and saw the man in the area several times after that. He said he was always wearing the same big coat even when it was hot outside. Just 3 days before Kate was killed, on the evening of Wednesday, November 12th, the witness told police he had been walking his dog down the lane when the man suddenly came out from behind the trees and startled him. The location where the man was seen regularly was only a half a mile from Kate's home and in the same area where she was killed. On the weekend before Kate's murder, a neighbor saw an orange or red tent pitched near the crime scene. The neighbor remembered thinking it seemed unusual for someone to be camping on their own outside Exeter in mid-November. So witnesses came forward to say that they had seen Kate just before she was killed. At 4:55 p.m., a father and his children were on a walk and said they passed Kate and Gemma on the lane. A mother and her daughter also told police that they had been driving down the lane at 5 p.m. and noticed Kate as they passed. They said Kate had been looking straight at them, which they thought was unusual. As they traveled a short distance down the lane, they saw a man standing by a small blue van, possibly an Astra or Ford Fiesta, that was parked on the lane. The mom and daughter questioned what he was doing there, but didn't see any reason to stop, so they kept going. After they heard of Kate's murder, they felt guilty that they had not gone back to help her in some way, and felt like the man they saw had something to do with her death.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And there's just nothing you can't just stop every time things seem a little odd, you know? Just, I feel so sad for them.
All the time. Yeah, well, and then, you know, are just being derogatory, you know, towards mm-hmm. this man.
Right.
Might just be minding his own business, you know, being perfectly yeah. innocent. If she'd shown signs of fear or trauma or something, then
waved them thing. Down or right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah,
just God. Looking at you and, you know, intensely.
Intensely. No.
The location of the sighting was reported to be only 100 yards from where Kate's body was later found. Police believed the mom and daughter saw her just minutes before she was killed.
Oh my God, that's a fucking fuckfest.
Yeah, it really is. Witnesses also claimed to see a man running from the lane a half an hour after Kate was found. By this time, the police helicopters were circling overhead, and it's believed they may have caused the man to flee. A few articles I read said that the man was covered in blood. But that just seems too suspicious. Like, if they're actively looking for suspects yeah. or, like, they just found a dead girl, they're yeah. not going to just let a guy covered in blood run away. So I don't believe that was true. But no. just, it is something I read.
Yep.
Despite Kate's murder being widespread and well-known, none of these potential suspects came forward to clear themselves, and the blue van seen in the area was never identified. Police worked tirelessly to clear each lead that came in, hoping one would be the break they were looking for, but that tip never came. I also want to say, when I was researching this, I feel like there is just a load of information in England available about the victims and the crime, like, that just maybe isn't readily available to us here in America. So I'm kind of curious to hear from our listeners, who will tell us everything about this case that I'm missing.
Right. Yeah.
Like, no, I'm sure I feel very confident that I got the basics, but you know how that goes. It's just like, I think this was a huge case there.
Yes.
And there's just not as much information available here.
Hey, which is so weird. I mean, the internet's the internet.
Mm-hmm. You know, right.
It should come That's down right. the same tube, yeah. I would assume. But yeah.
Just putting that out there, that I feel a little disappointed.
Yep.
Police worked tirelessly to clear each lead that came in, hoping one would be the break they were looking for, but that tip never came.
How is it possible? What time of the day was this, too?
Oh, the evening.
Like, afternoon, evening?
Yeah, she left at 5. Her parents got worried at 6, and she was found at, like, 7 p.m.
Still, you don't get murdered at 5 p.m. walking a dog.
No, not on a popular dog walking lane. No, that people also drive down. It's like a road. A very small room. Ugh,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's so strange.
Kate's case was covered on Crime Watch in January of 1998. Those interviewed for the program said it appeared that Kate's murder was the kind committed by a repeat offender, saying things like, quote, "Unless a viewer can help now, the killer might not be caught until he strikes again." Mike Stevens, the lead detective on the case, said that all the officers on the inquiry were concerned that this murder may just be the start of the killer's attacks.
100%.
8 months later, with no new suspects, Kate's murder was featured on Crime Watch again in September of 1998. At the end of the second episode, the audience was asked to come forward with any information that might lead to the identity of the killer, quote, "before he committed another offense." Almost exactly 1 month after this appeal, it seemed as if Kate's murderer struck again.
No. Ugh.
At around 1:30 in the afternoon, on Tuesday, October 20th, 1998, 41-year-old Linda, she went by Lynn Bryant, left her house in Ruin High Lanes, Cornwall, to take her lurcher dog, Jay, for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
She took a path she walked almost every day, so it was very familiar to her. Lynn was a wife and mother of two, and very well-liked in the area. her oldest daughter had just given birth to Lynn's first grandbaby.
Oh my God.
She was thrilled to be a grandma. Before she could even be considered missing, just an hour after she left for her walk, a passerby found Lynn's body by a gate leading to a field near her home. I know. This is very much in the middle of the day. Like Kate, she had been brutally murdered while her dog was left completely unharmed. She had been stabbed multiple times in her neck and chest, and police said her murder was, quote, horrendous. She had clearly fought her attacker and had suffered defensive wounds. Investigators said it was clear she had been stabbed while standing up, and then some more after she fell down. As authorities pieced together Lynn's whereabouts in the hours before she was killed, they learned she had gone to a local car garage to buy gas around 1 p.m. The garage was out of gas, but she ran into a friend and spent a few minutes chatting with her. While they were talking, a, quote, small, scruffy white van pulled into the garage and parked at a strange angle facing Lynn's car. The driver was said to be between 30 and 50 years old, with a round face and a full bushy brown beard with bits of gray hair in the brown beard. He seemed to be a large man and was wearing a waxed green jacket. As soon as Lynn left the garage, the unidentified van followed her.
Ugh.
The employees at the garage remembered commenting on how odd this was, but there was really nothing to do about it. It was later discovered that the van had also been sighted on the Friday and Saturday before the murder. It had also been spotted parked in the lay-by beside the chapel where Lynn was later found dead. The van was described as either an Austin Maestro, a Ford Escort, or a Bedford. So during Lynn's walk, witnesses saw her going towards Ruin High Lane's Methodist Church. Just 30 minutes before Lynn was found dead, a motorist saw her talking to a clean-shaven man at the junction by the chapel, very near where she was killed. He was described as 5'9", in his 30s, and wearing light clothing. A farmer who was moving his animals through the spot where Lynn was later found said he did not see her there when he went through at 2 p.m. It's believed there was a very short window of opportunity for Lynn's killer to commit the terrible crime and get away unnoticed.
Yeah.
She left her house at 1:30.
Oh my God.
The farmer was at the spot where her body was found at 2. And she was not there, and she was found a half an hour later. And there were people all over the place.
Ugh, God. Like, how? Chilling. Chilling.
Yes. How? I hate the luck that some of these killers get. I hate it.
I know. Well, I mean, he probably, yeah. Obviously, he had been waiting and paying attention and ready for a long time, I'm sure, you know. Probably 100%. Just a tremendous amount of skill. Mm-hmm. And he probably had done this a lot more than 2 times to be able to get in and out that quickly.
Yes, know? A lot of patience.
Yeah. But yeah, it really makes your brain freeze up and want to go to have a nap because it's fucking terrifying. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So another farmer told police they saw an unknown man walking through a nearby field away from the murder scene, but he was too far away to get a good look. Like Kate's murder, police believed that Lynn's killer was a random attack, and the two cases, which happened only 87 miles or 140 kilometers apart, were quickly linked. The investigators from both towns started working together and sharing information with the understanding that these crimes might not be connected, but just a terrible coincidence instead.
Yeah, that seems... No.
It's like, not likely.
No.
In my opinion, not likely. So during an episode of Crime Watch, which aired in November of 1998, the lead detectives told people watching, quote, "I truly believe that if we don't catch this man, there's every possibility that he will strike again." An appeal was made to doctors and psychiatrists to keep in mind any patients who might be capable of such a violent crime, indicating that they thought it was possible for the killer to be mentally ill. They also made it clear that the man in the white van was a strong suspect for Lynn's murder. No surprise, but this man never came forward to be cleared. So 4 months after Lynn was murdered, on February 2nd, 1998, Sun Won, walking along the lane where she had been killed, found a pair of tortoise shell glasses lying on the ground.
Ooh, chills.
They turned them into police, knowing they had found them in the exact spot where Lynn had died.
How did they miss them? Oh, he probably came back. Huh.
Sure enough, the glasses belonged to Lynn. She had been wearing them the day she was killed, but they hadn't been found with her body.
Ooh, I have so many chills. That's fucking terrifying.
The killer was bold enough to return to the scene and make his presence known. He was toying with the police.
Fucked up.
It's so fucked up. Both Kate and Lynn's murders stayed in the news for months. Despite widespread coverage, there was no break in the case. Mm. A psychological profile was created for Kate's killer, which stated they were likely aged between 18 and 35, had previous criminal convictions, possibly for sexual assault. They thought it was likely the killer had sexual and or relationship difficulties. I mean, like, I'm not making fun, but it's like, duh, right?
I know. Yeah, totally. Every time.
Yeah. And was likely to watch large amounts of pornography. They also said it was likely this person was cruel to animals. But also not cruel to animals, you know?
Yeah, good point. They spared the dog twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
A similar profile was created for Lynn's killer. It's believed they are likely to be a loner, not in a stable relationship, and someone who has a hatred of women, which he may have expressed to friends or even psychiatrists.
Mm-hmm.
When asked about the killer, the lead detective in Lynn's case said, quote, "This was a planned murder. It was not about Linda Bryant. This is somebody who is looking for somebody in an isolated location." In both cases, it was concluded that the motive was sexual, even though neither Kate nor Lynn had been sexually assaulted. Their clothes had been disturbed by the killer. In the years after Lynn's murder, 6,000 people were DNA tested, which indicates investigators have DNA evidence linked to her murderer.
Oh, come on. Genetic DNA, familial DNA. Get them.
Mm-hmm. Right? It seems likely their killer or killers didn't stop with just these two victims. In early January 1999, a man with a knife attacked a mother and her 17-year-old daughter while they were walking their dog down a country lane in Netherton near Newton Abbott, Devon, which is only 20 miles from where Kate was murdered.
Yep.
The victims saw a man drive past them on the lane in a blue-gray Cavalier saloon, before coming up behind them again at a slow speed several minutes later. Their attacker deliberately drove his car into the 17-year-old, knocking her over. He wasn't going fast, but yeah. I mean, still, he ran her over with the car.
Yeah.
He got out and held a knife to the teen's throat, demanding the mother do as she was told. He forced them both into the vehicle and then drove them to a nearby field. Once parked, the brave duo fought their way out of his car while he lashed out and slashed the mother's hands with a knife.
Go. God, that is so brave. Absolutely terrifying.
I have chills thinking about it.
I do too. It's beyond scary.
They were able to flee, but unfortunately their attacker got away as well.
I'm so glad they lived, but... Fuck.
Yes. I mean, it's like, unfortunately, only unfortunate that the attacker got away. I'm so proud of those ladies. And I tell you, I think that really, if I was faced with being, we've talked about this before, like if I was a victim of a crime, I would just be like, okay, fine. I would totally freeze. I would not fight or fly unless my kids were involved. Like, you don't mess with a mom and her teen daughter, like two of the most fierce individuals I can think of. Like, I would destroy somebody if they came after my kids hard.
I think I'm the opposite. I think if they were like, do what I say or I'll hurt your kid, I would do what I was told. But if it was just me, I would just start bum rushing. I would just go full fucking crazy. My coworker when we worked at the group home called it a coyote backing up a bear. That would be me. I would just go full coyote and try to get my ass out of there, you know? Because if they move you, you're done, right?
Right.
Like they just say your best bet is to just fight or run.
Yeah. But you notice that in this case, the mom did as she was told until she got into a position where her daughter could get away.
Yep.
And then they got away, you know, and then she fought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Good. Well done. Extremely well done.
That's right. So Devon and Cornwall police said the similarities between the incident and the two murders were, quote, too obvious to ignore. The attacker matched the description of the suspects in Kate and Lynn's case and was described as white, 35 to 40, 5'8" tall, and well-built, with short, fair hair with a roundish face.
Mm-hmm.
In late January that same year, there was another attack on a woman out walking her dog, just 15 miles from the scene of Lynn's murder. She was attacked in a lane near Cambourne in Cornwall by a man driving a black vehicle. He was described as large, between 30 and 40, with light hair, wearing dark trousers, and a light top. She managed to escape with her life, but the attacker also got away again.
Ugh.
And then
I can't believe he's sticking so close, too. That is so ballsy.
I know. Well, he's bringing glasses back to the scene. Like, he doesn't give any fucks. He's just getting
probably
away
wants
with
to get
everything.
Caught.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
And then on July 2nd, 2000, a woman in Salcombe, Devon, called police after being stalked for more than 300 yards by a man carrying a 6-inch knife. She had been walking her dog, and when she noticed the man following her, her dog started barking at him, and he ran off.
Oh, God. I need to get bigger dogs. That's the answer to it. Oh
my God, my dogs wouldn't let anybody near. They're so chaotic that even, yeah, they're not mean, but they would just like chaos people away. They're so crazy.
Oh yeah, you're perfectly safe. My fucking pugs, though. Forget about it. I'm toast. Toast.
Bill with his sweet little Bill's tongue hanging out like, oh hey, my legs aren't even.
I'm like 12 pounds.
He was described as a white man with a suntan, about 40, and clean-shaven. He got out of a dark blue Volvo car before following the woman and was wearing green corduroy trousers and a blue sweatshirt. So if this, I do believe that this is probably the same guy. He's so many cars, so many vans.
Well, that's one thing he's doing in a smart manner. Maybe he's just borrowing them. Who knows? Yeah,
who knows? He works for a car dealership.
Totally. Mechanic, maybe. Impound. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. None of these men were ever caught, or man. One other possible connection was the murder of 66-year-old Helen Fleet, who was found stabbed and beaten to death on March 28th, 1987. So we're going to go back in time over a decade back. She was attacked in the secluded Whirlbury Woods in Weston-super-Mare.
All right.
You guys are killing me.
I 100% believe that's exactly how you say those words. Not there's no question in my mind that you just said that.
I nailed it.
Whirlbury
Woods and Weston Super Mare.
Just making shit up.
I didn't name these towns.
Oh my God.
Oh, anyway, we got to take it back to Helen Fleet. I'm so sorry, Helen. So she was attacked in this secluded area that I'm not going to try to say again while she was walking her two dogs. She was stabbed. I already said that. She was stabbed and her killer has also never been found. So decades have passed without justice for these families. Tim Bushell, Kate's older brother, said in 2017 that his family was extremely grateful for the work carried out by the police, plus the support from the public, and begged anyone who may have information about his sister's murder to speak out, saying, quote, "I personally thank everyone who contacted the police to give additional information, as well as the tireless efforts put in by current and retired members of Devon and Cornwall Police. The 20 years of dedication, professionalism, and effort put in by the police to try and solve Kate's murder is staggering. I have been left humbled by the support and good wishes from friends, family, and the wider community. My parents and I still hope that someone will come forward and that justice will be served. Again, we would please urge anyone who is in the position, but for whatever reason wasn't before, to come forward and contact the police." Lynn's daughter Lee is now older than her mom was when she was murdered. Lee told the BBC the worst part in all of this was thinking about what her mom's last moments were like. Quote, "When she was there on her own, I think that's probably the hardest bit that I do try not to think about," she added. Lee believes the killer is still out there, saying, quote, You feel like somebody is watching you. I have felt like that for a very long time. We are just hoping that maybe there is somebody out there who had suspicions at the time but wasn't able to do anything about it and will now come forward. In October 2018, it was revealed that a partial DNA profile of Lynn's killer had been isolated during a 2016 forensic review of the case.
Yes! Good.
And now for a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. So something you might not know about Sadie and I mean, we come across as so cool and confident on this podcast, but we're a bit of a neurotic mess as individuals and together, honestly. We tend to get a little bit hung up on problems instead of solutions. My brain in particular loves to just like think about the problems and then come up with like 90,000 solutions rather than like one actual solution and then just spiral around in that and continue to do it and do it and do it until I'm exhausted and like a shriveled up version of myself, right?
And my brain likes to just come up with problems and more problems and more problems and more problems, and there are no solutions, there are only problems.
That's a cool feeling. It feels awesome when our brains do that,
right?
If only there was a solution.
But you know, wait. You know what has helped me get out of that cycle? Therapy. Oh yeah. My God. So now I have a problem. And guess what? My therapist has helped me figure out how to solve that problem on my own. It's incredible.
Sadie constantly will be saying something out loud, talking about something that's come into her life. And then I will hear her. I mean, she will verbalize it. She'll say out loud, like what the solution is in real time, because I can tell that her therapist's voice is in her head, helping her solve that problem coming up with a healthy solution for her in real time.
It's true.
What a concept.
I know. So I finally got to the point where I knew I needed help in moving on with my life, getting through my problems to the solution quicker. And when I signed up for therapy, she made that happen for me. I feel more like myself, so much less stressed, and honestly, so much more confident too.
Yeah,
I really do.
I feel like it's completely changed your life.
It really
especially
has.
When it comes to that. Yeah.
Yep.
Setting things down that you don't need to carry around, and then also just finally having some confidence to put yourself out there, which has been huge.
So huge. So if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. You can get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey and switch therapists at any time, which is very important. They're not always the perfect fit right away. Finding that perfect fit is the number one most important thing with therapy.
Absolutely. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can help you get there. Visit BetterHelp.com/theywill today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/theywill. Solve those problems, babies.
Do it.
You will love it. You will be so happy you did it.
Goodbye. Yep. So they had, it seems like in Lynn's case, they had DNA before and they tested it and now they have it again. They have new, I don't know if it's, they have a new sample. They found a new sample. Authorities believed it could be used to eliminate suspects quickly, and they announced that they were going to retest some of the 6,000 people who had their DNA tested in the original investigation. So they're going to go back through it. They also had three main suspects in her case that were all eliminated with the DNA. Yeah. Sample. There was also, I didn't get into the details because everybody, it's like all of the possible suspects have been fully cleared. There was another serial killer that they thought maybe was a part of these murders, and he was cleared, and they're just really, I couldn't find any like really good solid possible suspects worth talking about.
Totally.
So no DNA match has yet been found. There's a £10,000 reward for both Kate and Lynn, separate, so $20,000 total. It has now been nearly 25 years since these murders occurred, and I really want to know if they're ever going to be solved. Anyone with information is asked to call the dedicated incident room number 0800-096-1233. And that's what I got for y'all.
What the fuck? Who went to prison? Who moved out of town? Who had a kid? What's the other one?
Who
that
died?
Could happen. Yeah. But I would guess he moved, got caught for something else, had a kid.
smart BTK enough style. To change up his MO. It's too obvious to go after ladies walking dogs, so he did something less obvious, maybe. Not maybe. Likely, maybe.
Yeah, but they don't really do that, generally.
Right.
You know, it's like Israel Keyes is the only one who just went all willy-nilly everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just did whatever he wants. Yeah, everybody else sticks to the plot. Mm-hmm. They cannot deviate. Damn it. Oh, God, that is so... Those poor fucking families having to feel those eyes on you for all these years, that is so scary because you know it's true. And that is this... Oh, God. Yep. Ooh, it makes me want to vomit. It makes me want to hide for them. What do you do? Oh, my God.
Don't walk your dogs if you live in southern parts of England. That's what you do. Don't do that.
That one feels very close. You know what I mean? Like, some of these crimes feel very far away, and you don't, I don't know, less visceral, maybe? This one feels extremely visceral. It feels very sharp. Yes. I don't like it at all.
Yes.
It feels right up against your skin, and that is so creepy.
Yep. I agree. I really don't like to cover case unsolved, not a lot of details. You know, it's hard. Those are hard stories to tell, but I agree. When I started reading about it, I was like, oh no, not a dog walking murderer.
Well, and how quickly he committed the crimes, how stealthy he was in getting away, how brave and brazen he was to do it. And I don't want to say brave because fuck him, but...
Right.
Brazen is the word. That's
to return later and bring the glasses back and,
to be that good at it. I feel like serial killers just get caught, right? You know, generally speaking, they get caught or they get caught up so they can't do it anymore. You know, they don't really stop. It's like other people, I understand when people get away with murder, they just did it once in the like crime of passion style, but serial killers should all get caught. It should be the consequence of being a serial killer.
Right?
Right?
Yes, I agree. But then you hear the statistics, so it's like, there are 55 million serial killers in the United States.
Yeah, on the loose at all time.
Totally. What if it was 55 million? God, we'd be in so much trouble.
It's larger than QAnon. Which is still a very large number.
God.
I'm really uncomfortable with the number of people who are in QAnon.
Right.
But I'm more uncomfortable with the fact that there are 55 million serial killers loose in the United States right
alone,
now. Right? Facts, guys. Facts. Don't even check it. Don't even Google it.
Don't even
just
do it.
Take our word
don't
for
bother.
It. Yeah.
And you can tell by my pronunciation of these towns that we are excellent at our research.
One in every two people is a serial killer in the United States of America. So...
Yeah,
that's something. You guys be aware, keep your eyes open.
Oh Lord.
Oh God. Those poor people. Everything about that, just not even knowing your wife is missing and then she's just dead by like a heinous murder. That's mind-bending.
Well,
good one, but also I don't like unsolved murders. I really, really don't, especially when they're that brutal and there are that many of them. I hope they get them. I mean, this feels very much like a Golden State style.
Yeah.
Big you time. Know, he just like moved towns or had a kid or both and he's just laying low until they get him. They're going to get him.
Well, there was a lot of talk in the newspaper articles too that the investigations are like the most money that these towns have spent investigating murder, and like they're not gonna just let it go, especially if they have DNA. So get some genealogy DNA stuff happening. Catch them.
Go get it. I believe in you. The families believe
too.
In you.
We can do it.
You're still doing it, so fucking keep it up. God.
We just move into more better fun things.
Everybody, do a big thing.
Like that.
Here's a question. Here's a question that just reminded me of. Every morning I wake up and, oh my God, like verbally stretch, right? Like there's demons that come out of my body and my mouth when I do that. Does everybody do that? Do like people who work in corporate America who are not... or neurotypical do that, basically, is my question. Can some people just get out of bed, A, without stretching your entire body like you're a fucking cat, and B, without making the sound that corresponds with stretching your body like a cat?
I don't know.
Are people married to people who can just get up and not do that?
I can't
Laura
say.
Laura thinks that everybody does it, but I don't think so. I think that there are people out there who don't. Like, I can't imagine, like, Dwight D. Eisenhower being like, You know, just Dr. Fauci, like, every morning.
He probably
like,
does.
Make a sound.
It makes me want to stretch so bad.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos
definitely does.
I don't think I stretch when I wake up, but now you've mentioned it, I'll pay attention. I probably do. But,
oh, my God.
I mean, I also get, like, usually screamed awake by my youngest child, so.
Yeah.
I don't know that usually, that's, like, a leisurely, oh, good morning. Oh, no. It's like, yeah. Mom.
Yeah. No, yeah. No. Mine usually comes with, like, on the weekend, sleeping in, I lay in bed, and then, okay, it's time to get up, and then I have to, like, but I think it's just stretching in general. Like, when I'm doing yoga, I'm not necessarily, like, bellowing, but I also don't do yoga very often. But yeah.
Yeah.
Do people vocalize their stretches, or is that just a certain part of the population? So let me know, guys, please. It's important.
Yeah, we need to get to the bottom of this. Forty-three-year-old
woman finds out a couple things about her brain and now questions everything about human behavior and what people do and don't do. That's the journey I'm on right now,
and
will be for another year and a half minimum. So thank you for answering my unofficial polls, because there will be many of them. Yep. Anyway, the other thing that I know that people don't do is collect hilarious names, but they should, because their lives would be so much better, just like ours are, you darlings who help me with my collection every single day. And let me see. I'm going to go ahead and get through all these.
Oh, boy.
It's name time.
I hit the mother load this morning by myself with TikTok and Twitter. So there's a big chunk that just came this morning, but I'm too excited to share them. So I'm just going to share these all. Starting with Malachi Jackson Vandersall. No, Vanarsdall.
Okay, read it again.
Malachi Jackson Vanarsdall. I'm going to call that guy a wizard.
Wow.
I'm just going to take an educated guess and guess wizard.
100% wizard.
Right? Warlock, wizard, professor of wizardry. Those are your only options.
Yes.
Your name is Malachi Jackson Vanarsdall. somebody's brother went to school with a girl whose first name was Little Lady and her mother's name was Big Lady.
No.
Oh my god.
So cute.
Also very smacks of Southern stuff right there. Yes. And I love it. In Utah, there's a fishing supply store's name Master Bait and Tack. Yeah. She said in the same county they ran across a Mr. Pissmore Fishbine.
They ran across him.
Yes,
like
his listeners
happened upon.
Yeah, in the White Pages phone book.
It's like just like passing on the road.
Fishbine. No, but they said they laughed out loud and said it to no one in particular because they wanted to see how it rolled off the tongue. And their grandmother commented perfectly deadpan, as a matter of fact. I know him. He just goes by Alan.
Grandmas, I swear to God. Say his name one more time.
Yeah, I know Alan Pissmore Fishbine. What of it? Like, flips the flapjack she's cooking,
right?
Smokes her cigarette while she's smoking while she cooks it. Tats her tatting. All grandmas tat lace, don't they? That's a thing that grandmas do, or just ours.
Oh, shit.
I did see someone tatting lace on TikTok this week. Of course I did. And I was like, fuck, I've reached lace tatting TikTok.
I've been thinking that I should learn how to do it because I feel like it's an art that's going away, but we'll see.
We'll no, there's a whole group of like cottagecore gothy girls on TikTok all over it. You're good. That art will not die with this generation.
Great.
Kiefer Sutherland's full name is Kiefer William Frederick Dempsey George Rufus Sutherland. Nick Cannon's kids' names, Golden Sagon.
Wow.
Sagan, Golden, S-A-G-O-N, Powerful Queen, Zion Mixolydian,
what?
Zillion Air, and Legendary Love.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Sagon, S-A-G-O-N, Sagon?
S-A-G-O-N?
Yeah.
Not Saigon.
No, S-A-G-O-N. Somebody's mother was obsessed with Corey Hart in the 80s and decided to name them after him. They said, my dad's last name is Hartman, so my mom literally named me Corey Hartman, and she didn't realize what she did until she was 6 weeks old.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She said her mom, she got all excited and told her mom, her mama, that her name was Corey Hartman. Mama was like, you just realized that? Somebody's grandmother's name is Constance Lee, so cute. Sounds like Constantly. Kevin Woody Ryder is running for mayor of Carmel, Indiana.
Yes, go Carmel.
Woody Ryder. Woody Ryder.
Go Woody Ryder.
Joseph Baloney. Kenny Russell Snodgrass. Oh, the member of the January 6th committee that was all over the news on 60 uh-huh, Minutes. Uh-huh. Denver Riggleman. You made the list, Denver Riggleman.
Hip, hip, hooray.
I was watching the Bling Ring documentary, and there's a guy in there named Eden Shizzle, who was one of their victims. Someone is a vet and has a client named Patty Fatty, F-A-T-I.
Oh, shit. That came from YouTube, right?
I think
that one just came in, right?
Yes, that one's recent. I think yes.
YouTube is usually so mean to us in the comments, but I've been reading them lately and that one came through. I was really glad I had read it. Yeah.
Somebody also called out my Poofus song. That's poem right. That I wrote when I was 14.
Yes.
I don't remember which episode that's from, but go back and listen to it if you haven't. It's mm-hmm. worth it. Mm-hmm. Somebody's name is Blue Pancake, and they live in the same city as Cindy Pancake. So Cindy Pancake has a relative named Blue Pancake.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and are you guys ready for the absolute fucking motherload? I do not know what is going on with collegiate football players and their names this year. But holy shit. Remember how I read a bunch of them recently? It was like DeColdis Crawford and everyone's favorite General Booty. People send me General Booty basically every single day. And I
love
General
it.
General Booty is basically Cindy Pancake at this point, because here's some more. Are you ready?
Yes.
These are real. Any of these that sound kind of cuckoo, I looked them up and confirmed that these are college age men's names in the United States of America. Some of these are from other countries because I went through a whole comment section of a Twitter thread. So, Lad McConkey. I'm sorry, I have to go McConkey? Kind of fast because there's so many of them, well, but McConkey that's so
is
funny. Lad McConkey.
That's so funny.
It's so good. Here we go. Tank Bigsby. Boogie Curry. Jaeger Bull. Dylan Death Rage. Wing.
Dylan Death Rage?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Sorry.
Which is a name I've seen before, but Dylan Death Rage is back with his Death Rage.
Wow.
I'm sure it's Dethrage or something, but Death Rage is how it's spelled.
Right.
Wing Green. Tiger Shanks. Shitta Silla.
No.
Blazin' Lono Wong.
Wow.
Hot Rod Fitton.
No.
That's a fucking real name.
Hot Rod.
Hot Rod Fitton.
Wow.
This guy, I think his name is Casey, but he goes by Kool-Aid McKinstry. And everybody calls him Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yes.
Ephesians Prystock.
Oh my God.
Bubba Baxa. Patty Turner. Steel Chambers.
No.
Smoke Monday.
No.
Squirrel White.
What?
Booger McFarland. Sadie, Pork Chop Womack.
What?
Quavassier Smoke. Casey Legg, who is a kicker, and his arch rival is Cameron Dicker, the kicker.
Oh my God. My mouth is just, my jaw is open.
I'm not done. Hang on to it.
I'm holding on.
Martin Moist Chew is an NFL draft expert. I blame Martin Moist Chew for these names because he started like trying to bury his name under all these other fucking crazy names. Barney Amore, Chubba Purdy, Muddy Waters, Jim Bob Cooter, whose real name was James Robert Cooter, but went by Jim Bob Cooter.
Wow.
Alex Orgy, Deuce McAllister, Chance Poor, Kobe Buffalo Meat, Seven McGee, Shoes Brinkley, Bear Hunter, Sauce Gardner, Deuce Chestnut.
You're lying.
I swear on my life. Chancellor Brewington. Parker Titsworth, who is number 69.
Yeah.
Hassan Trayshawn. Ha ha Clinton Dix. His nickname's Ha Ha. But Hassan Trayshawn. Ha ha Clinton Dix. Cocaine Mothershed.
No.
And then Sadie, this last one, I swear to God, on everything that is my life, Luscious Poussey. Where do we go from here, people?
Drop
the
mic.
Do we go from here?
Goodbye. That is the end. We're done. That was our grand finale.
You
this is the end of They Will Kill. We didn't know how else to tell you. Goodbye. Just kidding.
At the end of the fireworks show, and it like you flopped. Oh, God.
That was in Cobra Double.
Well, it was already incredible the first time around. Like, all the name Fish Williams and shit. Like, we've already been through a pile of names. And then there are more names. So many more than I could have ever imagined. And some of those were from other countries, and some of them were from the past. But only, like, six of them out of, like, what, 30?
Did somebody send you that list, or did you just find it?
I found it on TikTok today.
Of course. God.
Yeah. Somebody put together the unofficial, like, names draft of 2022. And so it was like,
man.
Yeah. It was like Casey Legg versus, you know, Smoke Monday and all of their positions on each side, on the offense and the defense and stuff. And then I just opened up the comments, and it just a million people like, "Where's Ladd McConkey?" And I'm like, "What?" Like, you miss Tanks McConkey. Bigsby or whatever. Yes.
God, I just, yeah. My day has been made.
I couldn't believe it.
I woke up today in the best mood, and now I know why it was for that list of names.
Because Hot Rod Fitton was about to come into your life, followed by Ephesians Pry Sock.
I just can't.
Deuce McAllister. Shoes Brinkley is.
Man.
The Chancellor Brewington. I can't believe it.
The other day I was following behind a van and I look up and it's a plumber's van and it's Earl Grey and Sons Plumbing. And I sat there forever and I was like, is Earl Grey funny? Is that like, was Earl Grey, I assume Earl Grey tea was named after an Earl Grey, and you know, I just couldn't decide. So is Earl Grey funny? I don't know. I have no idea.
No.
Okay.
It's common. It's charming, I think. But, I mean, kind of, if he was doing an ironic job, then maybe. I don't know what that would be. Like Earl Grey coffee. What? Coffee and tea at the same time? Wow, crazy.
Oh, shit.
Earl Grey coffee importers. Whoa.
Oh. Or if his second last name was Latte or something. Anyway, I don't know. Who cares? My brain is done. I'm dead.
Mine is too, but I still have to do shouty outy, so I'm sticking. Woo! Keep my energy up.
Okay, do it. Let's do it. Thank you so much to everyone who supports us on Patreon.
Yep.
Get your membership now. Do it. Go get
it. Yes. Please.
Please do.
So many episodes over there, guys. Like 100, 130. I say that every time. I don't actually know, but right around 130.
I don't. Yeah, it's like 116 or something. Yes, 130. Uh-huh. We'll just stick with that for now.
Until we get there. But we're very close to 130. Yes. It's a lot, regardless. It's over 100. It's a lot for your money.
Yes. We would like to say a big thank you to our lovely listener, DG.
Oh, yeah. DG stands for Doing Goods. DG stands for Dante's Grave. DG stands for Don't Look at Me, Guy. DG stands for Dancing Gravity Style, comma, without it. DG stands for Dazzling Gorgeousness. DG stands for Doing God's Work. DG stands for Don't You Got the Goods? I do. DG stands for Downtown Goods stuff. And DG stands for Finally Everybody Knows This, but it stands for There's not very many compliments that start with D, it turns out. Stands for Damn Fine.
God, got it.
Yeah. You are so hot, my eyes have melted out of my brain. Even though your eyes aren't in your brain. DG. Woo. We're gonna tighten it up a little bit for you, DG. But
it's
the first draft.
Can send totally back your notes. Any edits you'd like to make? Let us know. Thank you so much to Alyssa D.
Alyssa D. She's not Felicity. She's on electricity in the city. She's the one that everybody's calling up and saying, Alyssa D, what do you know about me? And she says, a lot, but you can't handle it because it's all inside of me, and I am the one who knows all about it, and you'll never be able to access all of that information because it'll make the mortal mind explode. And then she does a little bit of a wink and flips her hair like it's just another day, and she's just carrying around the answers of the universe inside of herself. No big deal, because she's Alyssa D, not Felicity in the city.
Thank you so much to our Canadian listener, Cassie J.
Cassie J stands for Just When You Think You've Got It All Figured Out. Cassie comes along and sits you down and says, listen up, sweetie sugar. I have a thing or two to tell you about it. Here's what you need to know. You've got it. You are it. You should flaunt it. You know it. Don't blow it. Stick it to it. Dig a flip. Do a chance. Take a chance. Do a chance, take a chance. You are chancing, you know that you can win everything that you try. If you put your mind to it, you will not blow it. Because how do I know this? Because I have done these things, and I'm living proof that everything is going to be okay if you do what I say. Wink, wink, wink. I just imagine like Barack Obama or somebody listening to me doing these shouty outies.
What would Barack Obama say?
It's basically my personal hell would be somebody being like, hey, like I get to meet Barack Obama and they're like, Courtney, play your Patreon shouty outies to Barack and like right here in front of you.
Oh my God.
Or anybody, honestly, for that matter, like being at a family reunion and like one of our aunts.
I just got so many chills.
Yeah, I can't think I'm going to put that right out of my head. But
right?
It kind of makes me, it makes me want to die, but it also makes me love them more.
Yeah, yes, right?
They're so humiliating. Yes. But yet, here we are. I do this for you guys because I love you so much.
So much. You have one more in you, or should we be done?
One more. Okay. I mean, clearly, I'm on a roll. Wink, wink, wink.
Well, I'm looking at this list of names, and we've made it to early August. For those of you who are waiting, this is August. We recently got a message from someone who was like, I keep trying to sign up and I can't listen to your episodes, so I just signed up again so maybe I can listen, but I can't. And I was like, nope, you're good. You got to sign up for a higher tier. But I am seeing now with my eyeballs that she did indeed sign up for a higher tier that would let her listen to our bonus episodes. And for some reason, you can't. So I'll get back with you. Suzanne G.
Suzanne, gonna come down, gonna find you, gonna tell you who's up to it. She is. She's the one who will come down to you and tell you what you're up to. She's got it all. She's a woman of the universe. She's got it all wrapped up inside of her. She's carrying it around with Cassie D, I believe her name was, and she will carry it everywhere casually because she's such a fucking badass that she can carry the cosmos and the universe around like it's nothing. Just whoop, throw it over her shoulder and go out the door. She'll take it from day to night. She can do that because she's a fucking amazing.
Well,
I don't know anyone else who could take the cosmos from day to night like she can, so... Good job, Suzanne.
You did it. You did it.
You know, you just put on a jacket and a necklace. Take that cosmos easy, from day to night.
Easy. Just
take it right on out the door with you. Just
throw away your loafers and put on some heels.
Exactly. Your work loafers, your office loafers that we're all wearing in 2022.
Oh, shit. Oh my God, real quick. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but I'm just noticing that we have coming up probably next week. We'll get to this. One of our patrons who lives in the UK, and it's like 1,000 words. Why is it 1,000 words? Foxdale, Dayland Road, Barnston. What? What? There's no numbers. There's no, like, how do you find? Oh, yeah, you just go down to Foxdale, Dale End Road. Like, that's too many Dales, and nothing makes sense. And then there's, like, 1,000 letters and numbers at the end. What is happening? Somebody explain it to me, please.
I sent one of our Patreon supporters something early on, Shannon, our darling, darling Shannon, who lives in New Zealand, and 9,000% sure she never got the thing because it's just like words and letters and numbers forever.
No.
Endless numbers and words and letters.
Right. Oh, and now I'm looking. We've got an Australian listener who's also has not had their shout out yet. And they live in Joondalup, Australia.
God.
What is happening?
Have to shouty out Audi Joondalup.
Right. Anyway.
I wonder if Shoes Brixton lives there too. Yeah. Anyway,
thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. And if you want to listen to us more, you can always find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We're going to take a little bit of a break from the video for YouTube while Sadie transitions into the new phase of her life called getting a job. And
boring.
We'll put up the audio version like we used to in the meantime, but eventually put the video version back up. But you can find us on TikTok with video if you want to see our fucking faces. And you can go to our website, theywillkill.com. You can email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
You can rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please do it.
Please. Well, only like one place, but please do it there.
Well, review us there.
You can only do it on Apple, really.
Subscribe and follow us however that works on your app.
Yeah. All those things. Yes. And if you like our episodes, share them with your friends. If you're like, wow, that's fucking weird. Who killed this person? Whoop. Three dots.
Yep.
Push them.
Send them.
Go. Send it on out.
Do it.
You guys have been amazing at sharing us. That's literally how we've grown up until TikTok, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for that. And continue to do it if you are inclined.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, AJ Bergans, for our music.
Thank you so much.
We love it so much. And remember...
The other day, we were watching the Trust, the television show Trust on FX about the John Paul Getty and John Paul Getty III getting kidnapped. Very good. Danny Boyle directed it. I meant to tell you that the other day, Sadie, because you love Danny Boyle. Yeah, it's such a good show. But John Paul Getty Sr. had these like curly Q things coming down from his ceiling of his fucking like, you know, castle that he lived in. And I was like, look at those curly Q things. And Laura says, oh, yeah, those are cool AF. And I thought, because Laura's been around the world, she's traveled extensively, and her mom, like, speaks and teaches French. I was like, what's a cool AF? I was like, ooh, cool AF. Oh, what is that? Q-U-E-L-E?
So funny.
U-F? Yeah, no, cool AF.
What did Laura say to you?
That the poorly things were cool AF. No. Like, yeah, those are cool AF.
But then when you asked her what a cool AF was, what did she say?
Oh, no, I immediately figured it out. I was like, oh.
I wish you'd asked. I would have asked for sure.
We laughed and we laughed. We had a real hearty laugh over that one. That was so funny. God. Because Lori is usually the person who comes back with like, oh yeah, that's a Diebenkorn painting from, you know, like she just knows a lot of shit. She's not pretentious in the slight, like in the least, but she has information that other people generally don't. And I was like, how the fuck do you know what the curling cue things are coming down from the ceiling of that castle? She doesn't.
No.
She's just agreeing that they are cool as fuck. So far. Anyway, so next time you're
guys
in
are cool
18th, 15th century fucking British castle, look up and look for the cool AFs.
That's right. Oh, we love you all so
we
much.
Love
thank you for being
so
here.
Much.
We will see you very soon.
So soon. We'll see you then.
We will see you then, and then we'll see you on another time.
Goodbye.
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 I'm journalist Carolyn Osorio, and I invite you to join me and my co-host, Brandon Morgan, on our podcast, Criminal Mischief. From law enforcement officers seeking justice to victims' families seeking answers, every week there's a new case and a new victim whose story deserves to be told. New episodes of Criminal Mischief drop every Tuesday.